Well, as I was sharing before, God's word, you know, when we need faith for something, or you could say confidence, you have to have faith in what someone has said or what they can do. Isn't that not correct? So when we look at the word of God, God's word is his will revealed to us. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know from God's Word, it is the will of God. And so we should be able to find in the Word of God what God's will is concerning healing. And that's what we're going to be sharing on the subject of healing for a few lessons. But if we want to know what God's will is concerning healing, then where do we need to look? We need to look in the Word of God and not what someone thinks or someone said or someone's opinion. You know, sometimes people, not saying we do because we're taught and we feed on the Word of God, but you may run into people that may conclude that if someone prays and gets healed, it must have been God's will. But if they don't, well, maybe it wasn't. Must have been something. There's something. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Well, that's not true or accurate, and we all know that. That healing is based on the redemptive plan or the redemption through Christ, and it's not based on results. You understand? Healing is not results-based. Whether you do or don't get healed. Healing is based on the Word of God. Healing is based on what God did and what he revealed, what his will is in the Word of God. So that's what we need to base our faith on, not on results, but we need to base our faith on what is the Word of God. What is Psalm? I believe it's Psalm 107. He sent his what?
Word
and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So if we want to know about healing, if we want to find out where healing is established and God's will is established concerning healing, we need to look where? In the Word of God. And that's where faith comes from, and that's where confidence comes from. That's where your assurance comes from that God said, this is for you, and then I do what? I have faith and do what? Receive it. Not based on what's going on in my body. And again, that's not to say you don't get checkups and you don't get things. If you need to take some medicine, then take medicine. But how many know medicine doesn't heal you? It just controls things. But healing is in the Word of God. And that's what we need to know. Jesus was what? He was the will of God revealed. We know that from John 14. When Philip said, you know, he said to the Lord, Philip said, show us the Father. And what did Jesus say? He said, have I been so long time with you? And he said, you've not known me. He said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And then he went on to say, he said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So when Jesus acted and healed and delivered and cast out demons, he was doing it at the what? The direction and will of the Father. Amen. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And so we are asking that question. Is it God's will to heal? Is it God's will to heal everybody, not some, everybody, what? All the time. Not sometimes. But is it God's will to heal everybody all the time? And that's what we need to ask the question. So faith begins, as we've shared before, faith begins where the will of God is known. So if I know the will of God, I can have faith for that which God has expressed in his word. And faith without an action, in James. So when I believe that God has healed me, and he's provided it in his redemptive covenant, then what needs to be done? I believe it, I receive it, and it's working in my body. Amen. Sometimes we, you know, people will go on for periods of time and say, I don't see anything. Well, is that what you do with your medicine that you've been taking for the last 15 years? No, you just take it and believe it's doing something. Right? So you need to have as much faith in the word of God of that little pill you take to control the symptoms that you have. But we can also get the word of God in our mouth and believe that it's what? Working, it's working, it's working, it's working in me, correcting and making a change in my body. Amen. Amen. And so Romans 12:2, a familiar scripture, but it says, be not conformed, this is the King James, be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. So if we want to not think like the world thinks, even concerning health and healing, you know, the world will tell you, well, you know, when you get to a certain age, you're over the hill. Not me. I'm not going to think like the world. Joshua and Caleb didn't say that. So we need to have our minds transformed and renewed. Does that mean we don't, as I said, reiterate it again, does that mean we don't have checkups? Does that mean we don't need to get professional assistance? Didn't say that. But what it does mean is that you may need that from time to time, or you may need some assistance. But don't put your trust in that. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in the Word. And trust that the Word of God is, Romans 1:16, it is what? The power of God unto salvation. That word is healing also, deliverance. So the Word of God is the power of God, and if mixed with faith, then it can begin to do a work in my body. I'm just sharing. And what also does it say? It says, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can see here from the scripture that the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is where? In the Word of God. And when we get our minds changed and transformed, then we'll begin to prove, we'll begin to see it, and we'll begin to speak it. And again, this is the wonderful thing, that God knew that he gave us his Word and he gave us his Spirit to unfold and reveal the Word of God to us, so that we could walk in this earth realm that's subject to the curse, and the curse is evident. I mean, if you don't know what's evident, anybody, in other words, let's put it this way, there ain't no weeds in heaven. You plant a garden in heaven, there are no weeds. There's no curse. There's no death. So there's no sin. So God's will is that, here's another scripture, 1 Timothy 2. We just got done, praying for our country and those in authority. But 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, and it says, this is what God is saying here by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So what is this telling us? God's will is that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
That word saved, the Greek word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means to deliver or protect. It means to heal, preserve, save, or make whole. So it's all inclusive. This is redemption. So when Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood and took our sins to hell, he took the punishment. He was bruised. He took our sins and sicknesses. He was punished. But it wasn't because he was being judged for who? Not for his transgressions, for mine. He took my sicknesses. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So Jesus took and paid the price for sin and sickness. So God says here by his Spirit, he wills that all men be saved. Well, you could say not only salvation, but healing. Because it was paid for.
Amen.
So he wills that all men be saved, come into the knowledge of the truth. So when we say, is it God's will to heal everyone all the time? Here it is right here. He wills that all men be saved.
Amen. Amen.
That includes healing.
Hallelujah.
Not one missing person. Not one. So God's will is to save and to heal. Why? Because it's in his redemptive plan. Now let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 through 12. And here you can see Romans is a great redemptive book. But what belongs to us? If salvation is for us, then healing is for us. You know, people will fight you on that. They'll say, oh, yes, Jesus went to the cross so that we could be saved. But then when you talk about healing, they're like, well, if it's God's will. But it is his will. We just got done reading it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 in the King James, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, how we justified? By his blood. Oh, the precious blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if, I love this verse, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by how? The death of his son. When he died, he reconciled us. When we were enemies to God, we didn't know him. But it says here, much more, say much more. Much more being reconciled. Now I'm reconciled. We shall be saved. How?
By his life.
That word saved again is salvation and healing preservation. So I am saved by his life and I am healed. How? By his life. This is Romans 8. Same thing. Since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he shall quicken and give life to my mortal body. Then it goes on, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Now here's how sin entered. See, this is a wonderful set of scripture verses. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by what? One man, we're talking about Adam here, sin entered into the world. And what? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. The wages of sin is what? Death. But through his precious blood. Now, let's look at the Amplified Classic of verses 9 through 10. And I like this. This expands this in the Amplified, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, therefore, since we are now justified. We're now justified. Amen. Say, now I'm justified.
Now,
right now, I'm justified. That means I'm righteous right now. What does it say? Acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by how? Christ's blood. How much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, I like this, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, listen to this, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Glory to God. So resurrection life is delivering me daily from sin's ravages. And sickness and disease, even though it may try to touch this body and affect me, resurrection life is continually doing what? Delivering me from sin's dominion. I'm not subject to sin's dominion now. I have a new master, a new kingdom. Now, some, if you don't get your mind renewed, if you don't get it transformed, you will talk like the world. And you will then allow sin's dominion to work in your life and your body. You see the point? So we need to let the Word of God transform our thinking and let it come out of our mouth. Get our hearts full so that we speak the word of God. Don't speak lack. Don't speak weakness. Don't speak, I'm sick. I don't feel good. No, that may be, but you say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The word is my strength. The blood of Jesus protects me and guards me and cleanses me. The Spirit of God is working in me, quickening my mortal body. And you need to get that on your mouth, in your mouth, and when thoughts come and they begin to press upon you, you need to just get your mouth open and begin to speak. So disease entered, how? Into this world. We just got done reading this. Disease entered into this world, how? Through sin. Or you could say Adam's disobedience. So since disease entered by sin, then its remedy must be found in redemption. Redemption is much more than our salvation. Healing has been bought and paid for all. Glory to God. So healing, as we were sharing, healing is what? Part of redemption. See, one of the things, Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned, God still loved them. If you just look at how he treated them after that, he removed them from the garden and then clothed them. But here's the thing, God still, there was punishment involved and judgment involved. He couldn't bless their sin. So what happened? It separated man from God, and God put in place a redemptive plan. And so we see here that that's where Jesus came and took our sins and sicknesses. Now let's look at Isaiah, the first 4 or 5 verses in Isaiah 53. And to King James, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." In verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." So we're trying to establish here, looking at the Word of God, God's will to heal. Another, again, this is looking towards the cross, where it says here, Isaiah is looking into the Spirit, and he sees here, this is looking towards the cross. But these words, grief, when it says here, "Surely he hath borne our griefs," this word griefs in the Hebrew is really rendered sickness and disease. So he did what? He bore our sickness and our griefs and disease. And sorrows actually is a word for pain, physical pain, but it's also mental pain. It's also, in the Hebrew, it says that it refers to it as physical and mental pain. So when we look at the scripture, Jesus came and bore our sicknesses and our pains. And so even where people are dealing with suicide and mental oppression, it's been paid for. We're redeemed from it. Um, So this was, as we call it, this is a great exchange. Jesus did not atone for our sins. He did not cover them. He redeemed us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. Hebrews 10 and verse 9 through 12. He says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first," he's talking about the first covenant now, "that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified," he's talking about by the which, the second covenant, "we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ," how?
Once.
"For all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." He's referring to the priests under the old covenant. "But this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had offered," what? "One sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Glory to God. So he put away our sins and our sicknesses once for all, forever. So our sins have been paid for. Our sicknesses have been paid for. So he took and bore our sicknesses away to hell once and for all. So we could say, it's done. It's complete. Matthew 8:17 confirms this in the New Testament. In the King James, it says, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Isn't it interesting? The same translators that translated the King James Version, they use grief and sorrows, they use the word griefs in Isaiah, but then they use the word sickness in the New Testament. Same translators. Isn't it interesting? The New Living Translation of that verse, Matthew 8:17, it says, "This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." So why did he remove the sin and iniquities? So we didn't have to bear them. So if we don't have to bear them, then we shouldn't. So when things come and try to touch our bodies, we need to speak the word of God. And if we're doing that, then continue to do that. Keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking. Keep sowing, keep watering the word, and it will do what? Change. 1 Peter 2:24. Says, "who his own self bare our sins," in what? "His own body on the tree," on the cross, "that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So if we were, then we are. So the penalty, and you know, when you look at Deuteronomy 28 and you go over to Leviticus, the penalty for disobeying God's laws, they open themselves up to what? sickness and disease, death, calamity. So sickness is what? You could say it's a punishment for disobedience. It's not a blessing. But who took our punishment? Jesus did. He was bruised. He carried our sorrows. He was bruised for our iniquities. So we don't have to carry them. We are not subject to the penalty. We received what? Mercy. We received mercy and compassion. So don't ever question God's will. If you're going to do that, you'd have to go right back and question, why did Jesus come? Why did he redeem us? He redeemed us because we were subject to punishment. But Jesus came to redeem us from that. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 in just a few minutes here. Starting in verse 9, Galatians chapter 3. The gospel is substitution. Jesus came and he was our substitute. That's the good news, that we don't have to be subject to death. We don't have to be subject, I'm talking about eternal death and sickness and disease. We're redeemed from it. So Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, in the King James, it says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as of the works of the law are what? Under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You know, that's not possible to do. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." He's telling you, it's not possible. "For what? The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them." Verse 13 and 14. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a what? A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So we are righteous now. We are healed now. And I would say you are prosperous now. You are blessed now. Not because of anything you did, but because of what he did, what was purchased. Let's just look at 1 John 5 and 14 and 15. Familiar scripture, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have," who? "In him. That if we ask anything according to his will," well, we've just been looking at what his will is. He does what? If we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. "And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him." So when it comes to our salvation, we got done reading in 1 Timothy chapter 2, who will have what? All men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So we know it's his will for all men to be saved. So I can have confidence that if I ask him into my heart, he hears me. and it's his will. And the same thing. He said in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes ye were healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So it is his will. So if I ask him and I decree that my body is healed and delivered, then he hears me. He watches over his word to perform it. You know, there may be symptoms going on in your body. Talk more about the word than the symptom. You know, it's good to be informed, but don't spend all your time trying to figure out what this little thing feels like, what's going on here, and this and that and the other. Focus on the word of God. Think about the word. Speak the word. You know, these principles, whether it's sickness, whether it's salvation, whether it's prosperity, what did Joshua 1:8 say? Let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, and observe to do it, and you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So regardless of what we're talking about, the principle remains the same. Think about the word of God. Speak the word of God. Observe to do it. Obey it. And you're going to see your body change. You're going to see your prosperity change. Your peace will change. What did he say? He who keeps his mind stayed on thee is the peace of God garrisoned about. Think on those things which are just and pure. Don't meditate on the sickness or disease that's in your body. Meditate on the word. Meditate on the greatness of God. Meditate on his blood. Because what does it say? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Glory to God. So we can start to see that it's God's will that he healed us. We just need to believe it. And the scripture in Hebrews said that it didn't profit them because they didn't mix the word with faith. So be quick to embrace the word, not your feelings. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life to our flesh. Thank you, Father, that your word says that it's life and health to all our flesh. And Father, we thank you this day that every sickness, every disease that touches our body dies instantly. And we thank you, Father, that every organ, every cell functions in the perfection that you made it to function in. We thank you that we're strong. We thank you that every part of our bodies work properly. And we thank you, Father, that you give us wisdom on how to operate in these temples. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we receive our offering, let's give everybody an opportunity to those watching online, those here assembled, to give an opportunity to make sure your heart's right with God. And if you don't know him, ask him into your heart. And if you've not been walking with God, then get that corrected. Let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to this earth to redeem us. And I thank you that he took our sins and our sicknesses and took them to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for, he was released from hell and raised from the dead to be seated at your own right hand. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he took my sins. I ask him into my heart. I ask you to cleanse me with your precious blood. Make something new of me. And I thank you now that I am saved. Glory to God. So if anybody here did that for the first time or got yourself right, just let us know. We'll give you some free information. And if you've been watching online, also contact us. Let us know that you accepted Jesus into your heart, that you got your life right. Time is short.